It's good to be with you again at the start of a new week, and today we return to the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. As I've told you, in this season of Thanksgiving, one of the men I am most thankful for in my life is the Apostle Paul. He was, in my view, the world's greatest missionary to ever live, and his spiritual gifting as a church planter, an apostle who started new churches, and teacher, as well as a prolific writer, has benefited me in remarkable ways. His unrelenting emphasis on Jesus Christ is what I hope will also mark my ministry in the church, here on the radio with you, online and in the world. Paul never lost passion for the ministry that God had given him. And as Paul himself said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's in Philippians 3. And do you hear the emphasis on Jesus Christ? Or over in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And there again, keeping the faith, and faith in whom? Faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord. And Paul loved his appearing, and that is the appearing, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. The apostle had an abiding passion for Christ. I hope the same can be said of me, and I pray that the same will also be said of you. So I am thankful for him, and this aspect of prayer in his life is what I have been highlighting as I am expressing gratefulness for this man of God. Let me remind you at the beginning of the outline that we have followed. First, Paul is the praying apostle. Second, Paul's prayers are mingled with his instructions. Third, Paul's prayers are brief. Fourth, Paul prays to God the Father. Fifth, Paul and the other apostles do not pray for what is temporal, but they pray for what is eternal. And I taught on all of these last week, so if you missed these broadcasts, perhaps you were traveling, all of those broadcasts are available as podcasts from the WEZ website, which is 590amtheword.com. When you get onto the website, just click podcast at the top of the homepage, then click the link for God Is. That's 590amtheword.com. Today, I want to finish this series with my sixth and final insight. The Apostle Paul did not pray for God to save the world from sin as much as for his fellow believers and the churches. And remember, I am indebted to Pastor Arthur W. Pink in his penetrating book, Gleanings from Paul, The Prayers of the Apostle, for the insights that I am sharing with you in these days together. There is a link to this book on the God Is WEZE Facebook page. That's on Facebook at God Is WEZE. Or if you write to me and ask, I can tell you how to get a copy. Oh, and the same thing with my outline, by the way. Just write to me today and ask for it. My mailing and email addresses will be given at the end today. Now, when I say that the Apostle Paul did not pray for God to save the world from sin as much as for his fellow believers and the churches, this can sound kind of odd, right? Paul is a missionary. I mean, he wants as many Jews and Gentiles to be saved from their sin as possible, correct? Paul's a church planter. He wants to present the gospel clearly and then watch as his listeners decide to follow Jesus. And if you know more about his life, then you know that he overcame great obstacles to bring the good news of the gospel to people, enduring harsh conditions, to say the least. He was obsessed with preaching the truth about God. That is what Paul, the world's greatest missionary ever, wanted, isn't it? Then why didn't he constantly pray for revival? Well, here is where we learn about Paul's theology for how he prays or does not pray. Paul, it turns out, believed that God was in charge of all who would believe in Jesus Christ for their forgiveness of sins, and those who will not believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Paul had a very high view of God's sovereign choices, and therefore the apostle prayed accordingly. His task, and the task of every Christian, is to present with clarity, grace, and love, but directly, that every person is a sinner, that the only hope for each of us to be delivered from sin is to put our faith alone in Christ alone, therefore to describe accurately who Jesus is and to offer salvation that is found only in Christ. What the listener does with the gospel is dependent on God. So Paul modeled this for us. He was faithful to share the gospel accurately every day, but then he handed over the results of his preaching to God. And Paul used his time in prayer to pray for people who were already Christians and for the churches he started to grow both in strength and their own relationships with Jesus Christ by faith, but also that they themselves would go out and tell others about the Lord in their homes, their work, in the marketplace, in the shops, schools, and theaters, all over the world, and in every relationship these believers had with non-believers. And Paul prayed for the Christians to be protected from the evil one and the wicked schemes of the devil. What Paul actually did is he prayed, again, like Jesus. As in all things, Jesus was his model. And let me show you this in the Bible. Last week I read from John chapter 17, and I do so again today. In this chapter, Jesus is praying, and down at verse 9 he prays, "I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Jesus does not pray for the world. Jesus does not ask God the Father to bring revival to the earth. No, Jesus is specific. He prays for his own, to those whom you have given me. He prays for those who belong to God. And lest you think that Jesus was only praying for the original 12 apostles, drop down in John 17 to verses 20 through 21. I'm reading from John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus prays for us. He prays for Christians, his followers. He prays for all who believe in him by faith down through the centuries and the ages that have followed this prayer. And I submit to you that if we want to pray like Paul, who prayed like Jesus, then we need to invest our prayer time in praying for specific believers, praying for one another as Christ's people, and praying for the church. So if you are within the sound of my voice and you're a Christian, then you must know other Christians. Pray for them by name and bring their prayers and petitions before God the Father. And if you are a Christian, then I certainly hope you attend a church, if you're physically able to do so. You must have a sense for how to pray for the people of God you belong to. Well, good. Give time in prayer to crying out to your Heavenly Father for your church. And pray for new Bible-believing churches to begin, so the true gospel can be proclaimed to more people. I remember well that when I was reading along in Arthur Pink's book on the prayers of Paul, and I came to this section that emphasizes how Paul really focused in prayer for the Christ followers in the churches, I wrote in my prayer journal, "Have I been praying wrong, Lord?" Well, not completely, of course. It's still perfectly appropriate to pray for family members and friends who do not know Christ to believe in him. Obviously, God loves the people of the world, and when we, his children, cry out to him and ask him to continue to have mercy on sinners by convicting them of sin such that they believe in Jesus in large numbers, that is an acceptable prayer to pray before the living God. Furthermore, we have needs, and we want our loving Father to meet those needs. So prayer for oneself and to ask others to pray for us is, of course, all part of the prayer lives of each one of us. We talked about how to do that last week. But what I am saying is that if you're already reading the Apostles' prayers, then you'll notice how much time he spends not praying for himself. And certainly he doesn't request much prayer for himself. You'll notice that instead he prays for the believers in the churches. And so let me end today with an example of this from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Did you hear that last phrase? Petition for all the saints. Who are the saints? As I have told you before, the saints are all genuine Christian people. And what Paul is saying here is, pray for them. Again, this is not a prayer for the world, but for the Christians. And this is not a prayer for Paul himself. Instead, this is a prayer for others, with all prayer for all the saints. A.W. Pink writes, what a corrective for self-centeredness. Exactly. That is so well said. So how about it, Christian person? Are you praying for your fellow believers and the church? I've learned from Paul how to do this, and I hope you have learned something today as well. Just by way of review, here was my outline. First, Paul is the praying apostle. Second, Paul's prayers are mingled with his instructions. Third, Paul's prayers are brief. Fourth, Paul prays to God the Father. Fifth, Paul and the apostles do not pray for what is temporal, but for what is eternal. And sixth, Paul did not pray for God to save the world from sin, as much as for his fellow believers and the churches. As Christians, we ought to be very thankful for our forefather in the faith, Paul the Apostle. If this brief look into just one aspect of his life has been helpful to you, let me know, and let me know how I can pray for you. I will. And when you come back tomorrow, we're moving on from Thanksgiving towards Christmas. Beginning tomorrow on God Is, I want to take you into the genealogy of Jesus. That's right, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In particular, I want to talk with you about Joseph and Mary, the earthly father and mother of Jesus. I'll use tomorrow as an introduction, and off we'll go, so be sure not to miss tomorrow's broadcast. Who are Joseph and Mary? What does the Bible have to say about them? Do you know who they really were? As we get prepared for Christmas, let's explore this together. So now's a great time to invite a friend to tune in with you and join me tomorrow for God Is.